We turn again to the portion of the Word of God read, the book of Leviticus, and chapter 14. We shall read again at verses 21 and 22. Verses 21 and 22. And if he be poor and cannot get so much, then he shall take one lamb for a trespass offering to be waived, to make an atonement for him, and one-tenth deal of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, and a log of oil, and two turtle doves or two young pigeons, such as he is able to get, and the one shall be a sin offering, and the other a burnt offering. Focusing especially upon these words at the beginning of verse 21, and if he be poor and cannot get so much, and then these words in the middle of verse 22, such as he is able to get. When Mary and Joseph, 40 days after the birth of the Saviour, came to the temple in order to perform those rites of the Mosaic law with regard to the purification of a woman after the opening of her womb with a firstborn son. And then what they brought for the offering was two doves, two turtle doves, two birds. And in doing that, Joseph and Mary had taken advantage of the provision made in chapter 12 of Leviticus, that when the days of such a woman's purifying were fulfilled, then ordinarily she would bring a lamb for a burnt offering and then the bird for a sin offering. But verse 8 of chapter 12 says, if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring two turtles or two young pigeons. They were not able. They did not have the resources. They did not have the money. They took advantage, in a right way, of that provision in God's merciful ceremonial law, to bring a less costly offering by way of purification. And a similar provision was made in respect of the cleansing of the leper. Chapter 14 speaks of the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing, verse 2. We've been looking the past 2 days in chapter 13, to begin with, at the confession of our sin in the language and actions of the leper, saying unclean, unclean. And then with regard to the diagnosis of leprosy, whether a man was clean or unclean, as a way of examining ourselves, whether sin is still in dominion and reigning over us, or whether it is but remaining and still indwelling, but no longer in dominion. But when we come to chapter 14, we're dealing with a cleansed leper. A leper whose plague has gone from him, and that plague be healed. And there were various ceremonies that had to be engaged in. Some of them were on the first day. Verse 2, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. And he would have to come to the priest, and there were the two birds that had to be brought, and one was killed and one was loosed. A picture, of course, of the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. For no cleansing, friends, of our leprous sin, apart from the death and rising again of the Lord Jesus, who was delivered for our offences, that's the bird that was killed, and raised again for our justification, that's the bird that was set free and let loose. No cleansing for sin lepers like you and me, apart from the death and life again of Jesus Christ. But then there were more ceremonies a week later for the cleansed leper, verse 10. And on the eighth day he shall take two he lambs without blemish and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish and three tenth deals of fine flour and so on. But what about a cleansed leper who did not have the resources for three lambs, for three tenth deals of flour? That's what verse 21 and 22 is making provision for. And if he be poor and cannot get so much, then he shall take one lamb. Not three lambs, but just one lamb. And not three tenth deals of flour, but one tenth deal of fine flour. And instead of that, those two lambs that were missing, verse 22, two turtle doves or young pigeons instead, such as he is able to get. Verse 30 emphasizes the point. And for a poor cleansed leper who doesn't have the riches of another cleansed leper. And he shall offer the one of the turtle doves or of the young pigeons such as he can get. Verse 31, even such as he is able to get. Verse 32, this is the law of him in whom is the plague of leprosy, whose hand is not able to get that which pertaineth to his cleansing, who cannot afford the first demand for the offering, but in the Lord's mercy, a lesser offering was sufficient. A provision was made for the poor, for those who did not have the riches that the others had, those who had poverty to deal with still, even though they'd been cleansed. To the poor is the gospel preached. That was part of the Saviour's answer to John the Baptist. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? It wasn't just that the dead were raised and the blind were seeing and the deaf were hearing and the lepers were cleansed, but it was also unto the poor, the gospel is preached. It's for those without money. It's without money. It's without price. It's to those who have very, very, very little. And should we not be thankful for that? On the Saturday of a communion season, the Lord's people, the cleansed lepers, usually do not feel rich, they feel poor. They are like the cleansed leper, to be expressing their thankfulness. They're to be saying, what shall I render to the Lord for his goodness to me? And they know what it is. They're to be taking the cup of salvation. They're to be calling upon the name of the Lord. They're to be paying their vows now before his people all. But they feel so poor. Three lambs and three tenth deals of fine flour mingled with oil. Oh, if only they could. If only they had that much grace to express their thankfulness to him who has done all for them. If only they could do a little bit more for him than they feel able to do. But usually they do not feel so able. This do in remembrance of me, he says to them. The hypocrite has no trouble with that. That's easy to him. But to the child of God, knowing what's required, in rightly remembering his Saviour's death, in faith and love and truth, and thankfulness, with grace in exercising his soul, all Laodicean spirit flees from him. He cannot even dream of saying, I am rich and much increased with goods and in need of nothing. But though, even though Hopefully, I really am a cleansed leper, yet I feel wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, and I need so much grace in order rightly to remember my Saviour's death, and that's what I would do, but I can't. I don't have that, all of that. I don't have what's needed. I don't have the prayerfulness. I don't have the lively sorrow for sin. I don't have the earnest, thirsty desire for fellowship with Him. I don't have all those things that I would have if I could have them. I'm not able to get so much. But the Lord knows that. And He's made provisions for poor, cleansed lepers. And if he be poor and cannot get so much, then let him bring such as he is able to get. Such as he can get, even such as he is able to get. Is your hand not able to get that which pertaineth to your cleansing? You're not able, you feel too weak, you feel too sinful, too carnal, too worldly, too indifferent in order to get what which would be fully answerable to that great death that you're called to remember. Does it exclude you, friend? It does not exclude you. Such as he is able to get. If he be poor and cannot get so much. If he's wallowing in felt spiritual poverty, let him bring what he is able to get. Let him bring what the Lord is giving him. If he lacks the spiritual riches which others seem to have, if he lacks the spiritual riches which he knows he ought to have, if he lacks, as to felt experience, that appreciation of the unsearchable riches of Christ, which though they are his, yet he knows so, has such little ability in making use of them or applying them, let him bring what he can get. And that poverty, that felt spiritual poverty, even of a cleansed leper, can manifest itself in two different areas. First of all, the felt poverty of his conversion experience. The felt poverty as opposed to the riches of his past conversion experience. With regard to that, he often feels he cannot get as much as he's heard others speaking of. And secondly, there's his present poverty in his Christian experience, his ongoing Christian experience, and the felt poverty in that when he's heard and when he's read of the Lord's people, and when he sees them in the Word of God, and they seem so rich, and they seem to be able to bring so much to the Lord, and they compare that with their own Christianity, and they say, Lord, if I'm a Christian, I'm a poor one. I'm a destitute one. I cannot get so much. I did not seem to get so much at conversion, and I do not seem to have so much now in my Christian experience. These two things, and with the Lord's help, we'll gather our thoughts on this matter around these. But with this point, even though you cannot get so much, if you're a cleansed leper, you come as you are. You come with your poverty. You remember the Lord's death, lacking all that you lack. All the riches are in him, in his death, in himself, in whom he in what he is and what he has done. And what about others of you who are still in the plague of leprosy? It's not that you cannot bring so much. You cannot bring anything at all. You cannot render anything to the Lord whatsoever. You never ever have done, and if you go on as you are, in an unconverted, unregenerate, uncleansed state, you never ever will give the Lord anything at all. And if it goes on like that, what will you get in the end from the Lord? When the fountain for cleansing you from sin and uncleanness is so thoroughly and throughly and fully and freely set before you, and you despise it and will not come to the washing, but go on with the plague of leprosy in full force in your heart and in your life, what will come of you? There was nothing for the one who was not cleansed from his leprosy. Yes, for the one who couldn't get so much as another, there was much for him. He was welcome. But for the one who'd not even been cleansed, there was nothing. There was no provision whatsoever. How poor and totally destitute, how utterly destitute of anything are those who've never been cleansed. Never had a conversion experience at all. Not just that it's not as rich as others, it doesn't even exist, it never happened. Who don't have any Christian experience whatsoever. Experience the church, experience the means of grace, experience being with the people of God, but never had any real Christianity in your soul or in your life whatsoever. What then will become of you? Unless that changes. And the glorious declaration of the gospel is it can change. Unclean lepers can become cleansed lepers. That's the wondrous thing. Sinners can become saints. Unbelievers can become believers by God's grace. Then at this communion season, be seeking that grace for yourself. If the Lord's people can feel so low that they cannot get so much, how low you ought to be feeling who know you've never come to Christ for cleansing. You cannot get anything at all until that matter's settled, until you've been drawn to Him who assures you, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. But let's come to our headings. First of all then, the one who feels the poverty of his conversion experience. He cannot get so much as others have. Let's think firstly of what some people call the steps of conversion. And when you read the testimony of some or hear the testimony of others, everything seems so orderly. It seems so line upon line, and everything seems to fit into place. It seems less like the experience of a sinner like yourself and more like an exposition of the shorter catechism on effectual calling. Everything just slotted into its place at the right time, all so orderly according to textbook. Effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ and renewing our wills, He doth persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ, freely offered to us in the gospel. Now for some, it's step upon step, orderly, line upon line, line upon line. But perhaps, friend, you cannot get so much. Perhaps it wasn't like that for you. You think the others are so rich because their experience was so clear, so orderly. But yours seems so confused and unclear. And you know that God is no author of confusion. And yet when you look back on your own conversion experience, especially compared with some others, it seems so confused. You cannot get so much. Friend, actually, you don't need so much. Steps of salvation, steps of conversion is the wrong way to look at conversion. It's not that it's one thing upon another. We move from this stage to the next stage to the next stage. What is necessary is that all those elements in effectual calling have occurred. However confused it may have felt subjectively during that season. But if you have been shown your sin, If you have been shown the misery, the punishment your sin deserves, if you did get light upon Christ and salvation by him through his cross and through his righteousness, and if you have been made willing to come to him for all your salvation, then you've got something. You may not feel you've got the riches that someone else has got, where it's all been so orderly. But have you not got the reality? Come then with your poverty. If he be poor and cannot get so much, let him bring such as he is able to get. Has the foot of your soul actually been placed at one time or another on every single one of those so-called steps of conversion? That's the question. And where that can be answered in the affirmative, that is salvation. That's effectual calling, whatever confusion there might be. Secondly, the poverty of conversion experience can be felt by some that they just don't have, they did not have a preparatory law work to the degree that others did. They hear of others and they think they were so rich. They hear of them. They were months, maybe even years, under the law. And they think they were so rich. Christ came to redeem them that were under the law. And they look at themselves and they cannot see that in their own experience. They cannot trace months, let alone years, under the law. They can't see their and trace conviction of sin so clearly, and it makes them afraid. Because when the Spirit of truth comes, he does reprove the world of sin and of judgment and of righteousness. They start to tremble because the Savior himself has said the whole of no need of a physician but the sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And they're troubled about their conversion experience. Did I have enough conviction of sin? I didn't have the riches of conviction. It didn't abound like it did with others. Therefore, did I think that I came to Christ as a whole person? As one who'd not really seen the leprous nature of his life and heart? And therefore, have I deceived myself? Oh, where was the law work to the degree I see it with others? Well, friend, what you have to do is gather up what law work there was. As has been said so often, the only law work that's needed is a law work sufficient to bring you to Christ. It doesn't have to be equal to others. It doesn't have to be of the same measure as others. It only has to have been enough that it brought you to Christ. The late Reverend D.B. MacLeod, we remember saying to us as students for the ministry, that, well, if you did not experience that much law work before your conversion, then you would certainly have been starting to experience plenty of it after your conversion. Bring such then as you are able to get, even if you cannot get so much as others. A third thing that makes them feel, some of them, the poverty of their conversion experience is they cannot place the exact time and moment of their conversion. And you see, when unwisely they compare themselves with themselves and with others too much, who can do that, who have, as it were, a Saul of Tarsus, Damascus Road conversion, where one moment, a very clear moment, he's a child of darkness, and the next moment he's a child of light. But for them, you see, they're not as rich as that. They can't put their finger upon the very moment when they passed from darkness to light. If they're saved, they did. If they're saved, there was a moment. And the moment before, they were unregenerate and unbelieving. And the moment after, they were regenerate and believing. But they can't put their own finger on it. And so they feel they cannot get so much, and it holds them back. It may hold some back even from ever having professed the Lord's name till now. They fear that the Son of Righteousness has never risen upon their souls with healing in his wings, because they can't put their finger on the moment of the dawn. They can't quite say exactly when it was that that sunlight of the glorious Son of Righteousness burst in upon their souls and Christ was revealed to them. But for such ones, let them bring as much as they can. Is the Son of Righteousness shining in the sky of your experience now? Is there anyone else that you can look to for salvation? Anyone else who can deliver you? Any other priest that can assist you with the leprosy of sin? And if you're looking to him and to him alone, surely there must have been a dawn. If he's risen in the sky now of your soul's hope and confidence, then friend, there was a dawn, whether you can place your finger on it or not. There was a Dutch minister called Abrakel in the Second Reformation, the Dutch Second Reformation, who saw countless conversions, who dealt with multitudes of sin lepers being cleansed. And his conclusion was this, that many of the Lord's people, his true people, do not know the moment of their conversion. And in his view, he said that the majority of those that he had talked with, the majority of them who thought that they could put their very finger on the very moment of their conversion, in Abrakel's considered godly view as an able experimental minister of the New Testament, that the majority of those who thought they could do it were actually placing it at the wrong time, either too early or too late. So friend, if you can't, don't be too jealous of those who seem to be able. They may be getting it wrong anyway. The matter is Christ precious to your soul now? Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Whenever it was he became precious, if you can't quite settle that matter, so be it. Bring what you can. And to have him as precious to your soul now is actually better than thinking he was made precious at some particular point in the past and him not being precious today. Better to have the sun up in the sky now than just to have thought you were awake when the sun burst at dawn. Bring what you can. Fourthly, some seem to have a very dramatic conversion. And they seem to be so rich. Everything seems so unmistakable. The change and so on was so clear. I think of, in Acts 16, think of the Philippian jailer. And there he was. It all began with an earthquake in the middle of the night and all the prison doors were open and he was about to kill himself. He even had the weapon in his hand, but the voice of the gospel came, "Do thyself no harm." And he, trembling, came in. What drama was in it all? What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And others you see whose experience was much calmer, much more settled, much more gentle, may we say, start to think that they are impoverished. They cannot get as much. Are not able to get what that other one is able to get. And so they fear that their soul has actually always been like a ship becalmed in the middle of the ocean and it's never actually gone anywhere. They can fear that. When they hear of the gales that blew into the lives of others and turned those lives upside down so suddenly and dramatically and turned them around so thoroughly, They cannot get so much. But Acts 16, as you know, has the conversion of another, a woman, Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. No earthquake, no readiness to commit suicide, no cry, do thyself no harm, just the preaching of the gospel down by the riverside in the place where prayer was wont to be made. But Lydia was as truly converted as the jailer was. Such as she was able to get, she no doubt brought to the Lord's table, time after time after time, when she sat there, side by side with the Philippian jailer. Experiences so different. One seeming to be so rich, the other perhaps could feel, but I'm poor and I cannot bring so much. Each one brought what the Lord had done for them. The Lord doesn't save everyone exactly the same way. And the last thing about a poverty of Christian experience is when one is afraid, you look back and you don't see so clear a break with your former life as you see in some others. You don't see as clear a break with your former life as some others. In 1 Corinthians 6, the apostle speaks about those who were drunkards, those who were adulterers and fornicators, and a long list of outward sins. And then he says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, you're cleansed, you're justified, you're saved, you've been delivered from such an ungodly lifestyle, and you've begun such a godly life, you would not have recognized these people before and after. Everything outwardly was so completely different about them. And they seem to be so rich because their lives have been so obviously turned upside down. They've been so clearly turned around. And everything outwardly is so different. But he who cannot get so much perhaps had been preserved from such abandoned sin and transgression in the world and was kept from such things, was kept in a way of, at least outwardly, of outward conformity, of outward respectability. And so when conversion came, there wasn't any drunkenness to stop. There wasn't any adultery to cease from. There wasn't any stealing to stop. There wasn't any lying to stop. And they feel they just cannot get so much. There was no false religion in the sense of truly worshipping idols or following false religion like the Thessalonians, for example, had. And so their experience seems to be less clear. And they could almost wish, that their life in the past had been a little bit more abandoned. For at least then it would be more clear that they really are changed and on the Lord's side. But that's not a wish that they should wish for. They feel themselves to be, as it were, like the elder brother staying at home in his father's house. And they fear that they're like him. And they'd almost be jealous of the prodigal son, although he'd wasted everything with his riotous living, what a change there was when he was back in his father's house and had the embrace of his father around him. But they cannot get so much. They're like the elder brother, they fear, who never knew the grace and love of his father. Well, for one thing, they ought to be thankful that they've been kept from such sinful worldliness as others. And what they ought to be doing is looking to the inward changes. The outward life may not have to have been turned upside down, but in cleansed lepers, the inward life, the thoughts, the desires, the interests, that does get turned upside down. Bring what you can bring. Get as much as you're able to get. If you cannot get so much, then bring what you can bring. The lack of clarity in a conversion experience, the relative poverty of it, should not be holding back the Lord's cleansed lepers. But neither, secondly, should any felt poverty in their present Christian experience. And when you hear of the experiences of some of the Lord's people in different aspects, others of the Lord's people, instead of being encouraged, become very discouraged. Why? Because they cannot get so much. And therefore, the children of God need to be careful when they are speaking of the experiences that they've had of the Lord and of His grace, that they don't discourage any others of His people who may not have experienced things so richly or so fully or so continuously as they may have done. Now, what aspects can we think of with regard to this? Well, for some, firstly, there are those cleansed lepers in the Lord's Gospel who seem to be able to speak of not just once, but many occasions, some of them, in which extraordinary words have come from the Lord to them. Texts of Scripture being applied to their very case. Promises of the Word of God have, as it were, sprung out of Scripture, so applicable, so tellingly. They have got that truth. But some of the Lord's people don't seem to experience that to the same degree. They say, I cannot get so much. They are rich who have the Lord speaking to them like that. And they fear that the Word of God has never come to them with the same power. And with much assurance and in the Holy Ghost. Because particular texts have never, as it were, been spoken by the Lord directly to them in the way that others of the people of God speak of. And they fear that the Lord has never spoken to them or is not speaking to them. And whereas others speak of these as tokens from the Lord, I got that promise and I got this text and I got that text and I got that promise. These feeling that they don't get tokens like that. And on the Saturday of a communion, they're almost afraid to come and get their token for the Lord's table because where are the tokens that others speak of? One thing we would say to such, if you're a cleansed leper, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, all the promises of God are already yea and amen to you. You don't have to, in a wrong sense, get any of the promises of the covenant of grace. Child of God, cleansed leper, they are yours already. Every promise in God's book belongs to you. That's Christ's purchase. That's what His blood obtained for you. The promises of the Word of God, when rightly applied, are already yours. So although you may not feel that you can get as much as others in terms of a promise being applied to you in that way that they speak of, yet all the promises are actually yours in Christ. When you're in Him. And although you may not have had those individual texts of Scripture applied like that, yet the teaching of Scripture, cleanse leper. Can you think of anywhere else to go to? Are you not in the Bible all the time? Do you not believe it's every word? Do you not meditate upon it? Are you not seeking prayerfully to obey it? In a life of repentance. Is it not what you return to again and again that you cannot leave it? In a sense, those have it easy who have texts of Scripture applied to them, but they do not necessarily have it better. Remember what the Saviour said to Thomas. Blessed are they that have not seen and believed. Having texts of Scripture in the way that some speak of, it's almost as if they're seeing it. It's not just that it's in the Bible that they're depending upon, but they're depending upon something that can be dangerous to depend upon, the way in which it's come to them, the way in which they feel it's been spoken to them, and often taken out of context. Don't be so jealous of those riches. If your heart is wedded to the Word of God, the whole Word of God, and you're rightly interpreting the whole of it with the help of the Holy Spirit, you're not as poor as you think you are. But whatever you can get, the whole teaching of Scripture, bring that. They seem to get words of guidance at every major fork of their life. Some of the Lord's people seem to have direct testimony from the Word of God as to what they were meant to do. What about the rest of us, friends? Who can't testify to that, or at least not very often. We cannot get so much. We're ready to fear that the Lord Jesus, therefore, is not actually our leader, that we're not among his people, who he's promised to guide and counsel with his eye. That we're not being led by the Spirit of God and therefore are not his children. But if we are cleansed lepers, then we've been following the general principles of the Word of God for our guidance. And though that may not seem so richly enough as others, it is enough. Bring what you've had. You've prayed about these things. You've made decisions in the presence of the Lord about them, and you've cast yourself upon his providence, looking to him to turn it all for the good. When Paul's ship there in Acts 27 was broken up where the two seas met, they had to throw themselves into the sea, and some of them could swim, and others just had to grasp onto any board that was there. They didn't wait for some special word from the Lord. That's the board that you must embrace. They just took what was there in providence. That was guidance enough to get safely to the land. Such as you can get, friend, it's enough. Whatever use you've made of the Word of God to direct you, that is in fact the Lord guiding you. You're not so poor after all. A second way in which they can feel the poverty of their Christian experience is that they don't seem to have experienced the extreme changes, the extreme ups and downs of experience that others may have. In Psalm 107, it speaks of those who go up to the heavens on the mighty ocean wave in the storm, and then they're brought down to the depths again. And some Christians seem to be like that. One moment they're at the heights. They're on the mountaintop heights of being ravished with the love of Christ. The next moment they're in the valley bottom lows of depression, where they're ready to say, "Has the Lord clean forgotten me forever? I've got nothing, I've lost all." And the Lord's people, for whom life is much more steady, when they go up, they don't go up so high. When they go down, they don't seem to go down so high. They can begin to fear that they might be among those who have no changes. Psalm 55, verse 19, and therefore are not actually people that fear the Lord at all. They fear that they just don't know anything about the height and the length and the breadth and the depth of the love of Christ. They fear that they don't have the love of God shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Spirit. They're afraid because they don't seem to go down into the depths as much as others do, that they've not actually met Christ as the lily of the valleys. They're ready to put themselves out, because they don't have the extreme changes, whether heights or depths, that others seem to speak of. Let them bring what they have. Let them consider the changes that they have had. For none of the Lord's people are completely steady and at the same level. There are better days and worse days. There are seasons where it goes well with them. There are seasons in which it does not go well with them. Although they don't have the measure of the changes that others speak of, they do have changes. Surely they do. Every cleansed leper knows of it. And though they may not be able to get so much, such as he's able to get, as he reviews his Christian experience, it's not been all of a level. It's not been all of one. There have been changes. It's just not to the same degree as those who seem so rich. A third way in which their Christian experience can seem poor is they don't seem to get the great victories over sin or over certain sins that some of God's children sometimes speak of. Where some of them feel that a certain sin has been by the Lord cast into the depths of the sea and they've conquered it and they've overcome it. Whereas other of God's children feel it's the same lusts which are warring within my members today as warred within my members when I first believed, if ever I believed. It's the same kind of temptations that I'm wrestling with now that I've always been wrestling with. I'm afraid that sin has dominion over me. I'm afraid that I've never been set free from sin. Because as for me, whatever others can speak of, I find it very hard to enter into that. To be more than a conqueror through him that loved me. When it comes to that constitutional sin. When it comes to that temptation. When it comes to this weakness. I seem to get no decided once for all victory over these things. Well, bring what you're able to get, friend. The very fact that you're battling against those sins is a sign of life. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. That's present tense. The battle's not over. The war is still ongoing. We're not in the haven yet. The warfare with sin is continuous. The Apostle Paul even is speaking about something in the future. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Meanwhile, when he would do good, evil was present with him. When he would not do evil, how difficult it was to be free of it. O wretched man that I am. Others may seem to have one victory after another, to have one deliverance from temptation after another, to be able to conquer sin upon sin. And if you cannot reach that, don't worry. Because cleansed lepers have a place in the gospel of Christ. If he be poor and cannot get so much, if he can't speak of such decided victories as that, he's not cut off, he's not shut out. It's still for him. Some in the fourth place speak of the great service for the Lord Jesus that they do. It's not just that the Lord has done great things for them. It seems to be that they have done such great things for the Lord. But the Lord's ordinary people feel, I've done nothing for him. And if I've ever done anything, I didn't do it as I ought to have done it. It was such a small thing. I'm afraid that actually I've never been made into a vessel meet for the Master's use. I'm just not fit for him. Bring what you can bring. If he be poor and cannot get so much, if you've not done great things for Christ, if you're a cleansed leper, you've done small things for him. Even discharging your ordinary, unseen, insignificant calling in the world, faithfully, after the pattern of scripture, precept and command, that's serving the Lord. That's doing things for him. You may not be called to do the things which are public and eminent. So be it. Leave the rich to their riches. But such as you're able to get, such as the Lord has given you to do. Oh, he's given 10 talents to some. He's given 5 talents to others. Maybe he's only given you 1 talent. But oh, trade with your 1 talent. he be poor and cannot get so much as to serving the Lord? Fifthly, what about suffering for the Lord, or making sacrifices for the Lord, or being persecuted for the Lord? Some seem to go through such trials for Christ, and they remain so faithful, and we admire them, and we say they're rich in grace, even because of their continuing faithfulness to him. But me, I don't seem to have been asked to suffer for him. I've never had to lose anything for him. The godly are meant to suffer persecution, but I'm not being persecuted, not to any great degree anyway, as I've heard of others. But if he be poor in this matter and cannot get so much, then such as he is able to get is what he'll have to bring. If he's not made such a great sacrifice as others have made for Christ, he's made some sacrifice. If he's not suffered as much as some, he's suffered something. If he's not been persecuted as much as the great persecutions, there's always been some persecution. Some cold shoulder, some mocking, something somewhere. And where there's a willingness to suffer for Christ, that is indeed fellowship of his sufferings, though it might seem poor in the sight of others. When the poor widow threw her two mites into the treasury, it looked like nothing. It looked like a sacrifice that was worthless, that was small. She could not get so much. But she was the one actually that was making the greatest sacrifice of all. She was giving up more than anyone, although to people's eyes it looked like nothing, but not to Christ's eyes. She had given more than all the rest in his eyes. If he be poor and cannot get so much, such as he's able to get, that's what he'll have to come with. And then finally, he feels that the poverty of his Christian experience, because he doesn't seem to have those providential interventions which others can speak of, the way the Lord has intervened to deliver and to make provision. But has he been left begging for bread? It may not have been so apparently miraculous, his deliverance from trouble and his provision for his needs and supply of them, but can he deny that the Lord is fulfilling his promise that he will supply all their needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus? Extraordinary providential interventions. If you be poor and cannot get so much, look at ordinary providence. And has the Lord not kept you to this day and delivered you many a time, whether you've noticed it or not? Poverty of conversion experience, poverty of Christian experience. Remember the woman who anointed the Saviour for his burial. The disciples didn't like what she had done. They were troubling the woman. Why trouble ye the woman? She hath wrought a good work on me, Christ said. And friend, why are you troubling your own soul? It may not seem to be much, your Christianity or your conversion, compared to some others. But as was said of that woman, she hath done what she could. She hath done what she could. And that's what's being spoken of here. By grace, friend, do what grace enables you to do. If you're poor and not so rich, if you cannot get so much as others, then such as you're able to get, you'll have to come with that. And when you come with that, the Lord says, this one has done what by grace he was enabled to do. And it's enough. Let them come then. Let them be faithful to the Lord. Let them pay their vows now to him before his people all. Rich, are there any such? Or poor, there are many such. May he bless his word. Let us pray.